Teams are out for round five already. Now, Premier League's on the sporting as well. West Ham and Tottenham, 1-1. Half-time. There is Ange and Spurs chase fourth place and a Champions League spot. Burnley and Wolves, 1-1. 67 minutes gone. Bournemouth and Palace, scoreless. Nottingham Forest 3-1 over Fulham, and Newcastle have a 1-0 lead against Everton in the 83rd minute of that game this morning. There was a game in the A-League last night as well, and it was a stoppage time winner from Max Ballard to ensure the Central Coast Mariners beat Melbourne City 2-1. There's a game tonight, Perth hosting City FC as well. Just some other news around as well. I see Zach Lomax, of course, has been confirmed by St. George Illawarra that he has reached agreement with the club to leave at the end of the season. So he's a free agent. He can talk to other clubs and is believed to be meeting with Parramatta today. Just also with the boxing situation and Tim Zhu, that's what I wanted to mention. The blame game certainly on. So Tim Zhu's trainer has defended his cut man, or Mark Gambin, who's got plenty of criticism after that loss to Sebastian Fundora. And now the Zhu camp's pointing the finger at the doctor for not stopping the fight after round four. And it's been, well, his camp saying 6 to 9 months until he'll fight again. And naturally, that is, well, should be the Fundora rematch. The Fundora camp has confirmed that they will honour that rematch, which was a verbal agreement in the lead up to this fight between the camps. But I'd say it'd be interesting to, I wouldn't be optimistic they'll get the Fundora camp to Australia as we'd like. I dare say they'll have to fight over there.
I spoke to Jeff Fenwick on Sunday about this, and Jeff was most upset about how it all unfolded over there in Vegas, how the cut was looked after by his corner. Jeff loves Tim Zhu, got a lot of respect for Tim, but just said how the whole thing was handled. His theory was Tim won the first two rounds. He could and should have been told that we will stop it after four, go out and win the next round, go hard. And they've got three rounds up. Obviously, he gets to retain his title belt. Yes, there would be a rematch, but at least Tim Zhu comes home with his belt.
You know more about boxing than me. So obviously, it has to go three rounds. Is that
four.
Right? So it's got to go four rounds, right? Yeah. So if it goes four
then
rounds.
Then they go to the cards.
Right. Yep. If it's been stopped. Correct. But whose decision? Is it the doctor's decision only? Or if I'm in the corner, can I keep saying to the doctor, hey, keep looking at this cut, keep looking at this cut, we think it's no good. And if the doctor goes, rightio, I still think you can fight with it, play on? Is that how it...
Well, the doctor should have stopped the fight, Loz, yes. It's his decision as to whether it should have kept going on.
Yeah, but is the doctor the sole sort of decision maker? But can you go to the doctor in your corner after four rounds and say, mate, this fight needs to stop, our
100%. I can't see why you can't. I mean, the doctor should be able to see it clearly with his own two eyes as well. Tim Zhu's wiping blood like windscreen wipers away from his eyes. Yeah. He couldn't see. Yeah. It should not have been allowed to go on for 10 more rounds.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Well, why didn't Tim's camp do that?
Well, if they may well have done that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to.
The doctor did come in.
And, is that did Tim's camp just go, nah, bugger it, we'll just let the fight go? Or did they go to the doctor after three or four rounds and go,
I don't know,
listen, we need this stopped?
Yeah, I can't answer it specifically, but you would imagine at some point they would have said, look, this can't go on, but the doctor didn't stop it, and we've ended up with this ridiculous situation where a bloke fights 10 rounds in a world title fight when he can't see.
Yeah, no, and totally understand that. But if they thought they were losing, that they want to continue to fight.
Perhaps.
Because if it stops after four rounds and they think they're on the wrong side, you don't want the fight called off.
The theory was Tim won the first two rounds, and if he was told going into rounds three or four that it was going to be stopped, then he could have perhaps gone harder and stronger, nabbed one more round, and he would have won. Look, it's all hypothetical. I get that. Mm. But I thought it became quite farcical.
Oh, yeah, but I just want to understand the situation they were in, because what I'm sort of thinking now is that they didn't want to call it off because they probably thought
he was behind.
Perhaps. So they needed it to keep going.
Perhaps.
All right, with Bulldog in with us, his regular segment is right now. Okay, Bulldog, you've got a column today in the Daily Telegraph, Bulldogs Bite. And you've written extensively under the headline, Endless Latrell Booing Brings Racism Into Play, is the headline. So tell us the crux of this story.
I wrote a column, Middo, in regards to the incessant booing of Latrell Mitchell this year. It's gone on every game and it's getting worse. I posed the question in today's Telegraph and online, why? Is it because of his ability? Is it because of his political stance? On-field indiscretions? Is there some jealousy there? Perceived arrogance? Or, let's be direct, is it because he's Indigenous? I don't see other players with white skin copping the same amount of flack that Latrell cops. Adam Goods copped the same. Anthony Mundine copped the same. And the link between all three is that they are Indigenous and they all fought for a cause. I didn't in the column suggest all rugby league fans are racist. Clearly they're not. But when the hostility toward one player who happens to be Indigenous becomes sustained and deep-seated, then I believe we have a problem. And I wrote in the column a paragraph that says, incessant booing of South Sydney's Indigenous star Latrell Mitchell this year has pushed far beyond knockabout fans enjoying cheeky weekend banter with an opposition player. The taunting of Mitchell has become sinister and ominous. What do you think?
Well, I have to say, I've never thought about it that way. But I would like to think in this day and age, people aren't booing him because of his skin colour. All right? I understand he polarises people. And not everyone is always happy with what Latrell has to say. But I would think there could be a minority of people that would be because they don't like him. They just don't like him. And they every time they get, he gets the ball or in, around near the ball, they want to. I'd like to believe that there was no racism in sport. But you know that a minority of people, they carry it around with them.
I quoted Blake
consciously
Solly.
Or subconsciously.
Correct. I quoted Blake Solly. I told Blake that I was doing the column and he supplied a quote which says, I can't really explain the motivations of those who boo Latrell, but like everyone in the game, you hope it isn't based on his race or his principled stance against racism. Booing on that basis would be completely against the values of our sport.
Hmm. Yeah, and I totally support Blake with that comment as well. And I think that Latrell, given that he is outspoken about all issues in the game, and in particular racism, I think that a lot of people are waiting for him to fail and fall, and they will be critical of him. But I'm sitting here, right now, saying I don't think it's racist-based, but I'm not silly enough to suggest that there's probably not a minority of people out there that probably carry that grudge with them and still, you know, hate the fact that he's an Indigenous person that speaks his mind.
Why then? Why, Mido, well, in your opinion, well, is he booed?
How about I give our listeners opinions?
Sure.
Because we've just, unlike any other player, we see it on our text line. The straightaway his name comes up and text. Mm. They just fly in. This is some of your say. Hey, Bulldog, I don't think Latrell is being booed because of his race. I think he's being booed because he's incredibly unpopular, is perceived by most fans as arrogant, self-entitled, who has not delivered on the hype, seems to get away with more than pretty much any other player, both at South but also in league generally. We see other unpopular players booed across the NRL all the time. This is no different. That's Rusty. It's not racist. He has asked for most of it. He's overrated and an underachiever. Morning boys, it's not racism. It's just tall poppy syndrome. He likes to stick his head up and stir the pot so people want to take his head off, so to speak. Media have got to stop insinuating that all white people are racist, says Smitty. That's just some of your say. And there's many more as well. Keep them coming. 0419767272. I think it's a combination of a few things that are being said there. Certainly people, and straight away I think of the Joey Manu incident, and there's been others that have certainly got under people's skin.
He does irritate people. There's no denying that. Even in the last 2 weeks, he had the James Tedesco sin bin and then the hip into Josh Adokar's hit.
Yep.
But again, they are small indiscretions. Does that justify continual booing?
I think what happens, though, too, Bulldog, is that people go to the game, and if someone starts to booing, and it's your support, you just join in.
And they're entitled to boo.
Yeah, but a lot of people probably don't even know what they're booing. All right? They just go, bang, right out. He gets the ball. But I think it's a combination of everything.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of everything. I don't think it's just being racist, but I think some people would have that racist tone in their booing.
I wrote this, Laurie.
That's me personally thinking like that.
Outspoken. Yes. People hate being confronted around whether they harbour a whiff of racism, but this is an unavoidable question the game and its fans cannot sidestep. I just am finding more and more that it's becoming a bit more sinister, this continual booing. I understand how people think. Most people disagree. I'm not saying people are racism. I'm simply posing the question, do we think that there's still an element of racism in the game, and how can we justify, or what are the explanations behind Latrell being booed?
It's not in the game, Bulldog, as in it's only in the game, because I think people face racism wherever they go. It's not just rugby league, it's rugby union, it'll be AFL, it'll be in your workplace. There's always a minority of people that still carry that around, and some voice it and others don't. And some have it consciously, subconsciously, whatever way around it you want to talk about it. It still exists. We're not denying that it doesn't exist, because it does. But I think with Latrell, I think it's just a combination of everything.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why wouldn't you just boo Josh Adokar? Because he's Indigenous.
Why aren't white people being booed?
Like, otherwise, if it was a racist thing, you'd be booing all Aboriginal players. But I think there is a little bit of racist tone in the booing by a very small minority, but I think it's a combination of just everything.
I think you're spot on there, Loz. By the way, at the moment, I think he and Cody Walker are heading to places like Moree, and other places around New South Wales, and we know, and we've got a lot of listeners in those sort of areas, Moree, Dubbo, etc., where there's a lot of youth crime at the moment, and Latrell and Cody, with the New South Wales Police Force, are heading to those areas to try and, you know...
And the Premier.
And the Premier as well, involved with that.
Oh, they're,
and what they're doing on that front is fantastic.
Yeah.
Because those towns are under... There's some areas in those towns at the moment who are under siege. Yeah.
And that'll be their biggest achievement in life, if they can help turn the crime rate around with Indigenous youth in those areas. That'll be bigger than anything they've done on a footy field, let me tell you. And young Indigenous people look up to high-profile Indigenous people, in particular from the high-profile sports. And if Latrell and Cody are out there and getting kids on board and influencing them in the right way, that can only be a good thing. And I remember talking to Matty Bowen about it, and I don't know what the exact numbers were, but the Cowboys had this program because truancy was a big thing up there in the far north. So if you didn't turn up for school, then you didn't get a letter or the principal wanting to talk to you. Matty Bowen would go and talk to the family, and Matty Bowen had talked to the kids about how important it is to get education. And I'm just making these numbers up. So it went from something like about, I don't know, the rate of truancy from, you know, say it was 80%, went down to about 30%. The influence and the impact that sportsmen, high-profile Indigenous sporting people, men and women can have on the Indigenous community is massive.
The general consensus through the text messages and social media is that the fans don't believe it's racism. They believe it's a combination. I simply pose the question. I think it's an issue that we should discuss.
Okay. Well, gosh, there's a lot of text there, but we have to move on. And I want to ask you about this outrageous suggestion.
Ah, your favourite topic.
Angered me. Genuinely
good.
Angered me.
I'm glad I got you angry.
You want to ban long kickoffs.
I said, is it something that the NRL should consider? Oh. The long kickoff, Mido, let's just look at the facts. We are trying to eradicate...
To stop everything.
Concussion.
To just... There won't be contact sport left, Bulldog. There
Let won't me finish. Two players weighing 110 k's, running 30 k's an hour.
Where do you want to stop?
From a collision. I'm just saying, do we consider trying to stop that? And that is from a long kickoff or a long dropout. I wrote that, and again, copped a bit. I did note, though, and I've spoken to Greg Alexander about this, and this is the quote from Brandy, and I think Brandy has nailed it. I've said that it's potentially the most dangerous part of the game. Three knockouts so far this season. No one bends to make a tackle. It's generally three defenders converging on the ball carrier, two defenders either side, one in front, at head height, running at speed. Another strategy might be needed if we're about protecting players. Could we restart with a 20-metre tap?
How boring.
Potentially. But if it stops blokes forgetting who their grandkids are in 15 years' time, have we made the right decision? Mm. Jake Preston gets whacked by Shaq Mitchell. Purely legal. Mm. Both going at it at monstrous pace and with a monstrous G-force. Jake Preston breaks his jaw.
So what's the percentage for injuries to kickoffs? What would it be? 0.002%? I just honestly,
what do
where
you
does
think?
It stop? It's gonna if oh. Where does it all stop?
Look, I'm with you, Mitter. Where does it stop? And if you want to take that element out of the game, okay. But there's a lot of things that you're looking at as well to take out of the game. And then if you do take all these collisions out, is it the same game?
It's not.
You know, and when you sign up to play rugby league, I get it. You want to make it as safe as you possibly can, but there is an element of risk when you play any sport.
I'm not trying to get rid of the collision, and I'm not trying to change the fabric. I am saying, though, do we try to pull back in areas where you know there's going to be monstrous collision? Mm. And blokes, if you catch the ball on the dead ball line, Mido, and you kick off, that's 60 metres. So you've got roughly 30 metres each to run.
Yep.
You get two, or in as Greg Alexander says, three in the tackle, you're getting four blokes running at 60 metres at 30k an hour, you are going to have one hell of a collision.
Yeah, you will.
And if heads are involved, which they have been this year, there's been three KOs,
yep.
Do we consider removing that from our sport?
Well, I'll put it to you. How many knockouts have we had from players standing 10 metres from the play the ball?
Of course. I get that, Laurie.
No, there's more. There's more than them. There's more collisions from players standing 10 metres from the play the ball than there is from a 60-metre kickoff. That would might be my point to you there.
It's just a matter of perhaps eradicating high-risk collisions.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying, high-risk, that's high-risk. Because there's more happening because you've got more tackles. And that's happening 10 metres apart. So if you've got head collision 10 metres apart and there's a lot more of them than what there is off a kickoff, what rule are you going to change first?
Oh, it's been a great half an hour. I'm off for a cup of coffee.